This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 8:15, rainy day today and tomorrow in advance of a cold front. And Ghassan Korban joins us right now. As a matter of fact, Executive Director of the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board. Good morning, Ghassan. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all that stuff if we don't talk again.
Thank you. Same to you.
Let's start with the rain and canals and pumping stations and all that stuff for the rain that's forecast today. Any concerns on your desk, Ghassan? Although every time it rains, I guess. If I were you, I'd be concerned.
Well, concerned and cautiously optimistic. Obviously, we're doing everything we can to be ready, and we feel very ready for tomorrow and Tuesday. We have 91 pumps out of the 97, so that's a good place to be. And then we have ample power to drive all the pumps that we need during the event. So we're good. We're feeling good about it.
What about catch basin cleanings and all that stuff? DPW is still doing that, right, or not?
Absolutely. For a couple more weeks, that continues to be their responsibility. They just finished a contract that involved cleaning about roughly 6,000 to 7,000 catch basins that had been, issues for them or problematic. And we're hoping to take over January 1st. We're still dealing with the amount of funding that we're going to receive from the city, which will obviously determine the level of service that we can deliver for the city.
And to be clear, I didn't mean to be disrespectful at all about you're always worried. What I mean by that is you got an antiquated system that's kind of held together with bubble gum and string. Is that accurate, pretty much?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't take it as offensive at all. It's a fact of life. You know, we do have a fragile system. We're the first one to admit it. Very fragile. But it's good to have. We have two turbines. Yes, they are old, but they have been operating fairly well. We have five EMDs online. We have a handful of frequency changers that give us about 10-plus megawatts. So in combination, we have more than what we need. So we have the redundancy, which is always key, given the fact that, we have a high chance of something breaking down during an event. So, I'm always cautious about over-committing and over-promising. Obviously, until such time, we have the power complex fully commissioned, which is imminently around the corner. It's in 2025. We can't wait till, we put these turbines to rest and start using one primary source of power to drive all the pumps that we need.
So Ben Myers with NOLA.com wrote a story, New Orleans citywide boil waters have eased dramatically. Here's why. If there was anything to put the gree-gree on you and have a boil water come out from New Orleans East, that was it, right, Ghassan?
That's correct. We are going to continue to have these very small localized boil water advisories throughout the city. And it's just a fact of life, and it's a fact of life in every city. As a matter of fact, D.C. just lifted a boil water advisory just yesterday. They had it for about 3 days. So all cities have to, I don't know what the word, maybe struggle or face these situations, because water mains do break and pressure is lost. The system is compromised. And as a cautionary step, you just make sure that the water is safe before you consume it. And we will always have those here and there. But the fact that we haven't had a citywide Boardwaters Wedge, except for the recent one earlier this year, due to unfortunate events. You know, I think we're doing very well in terms of how the city is performing because of the investment we've made with the towers, with newer pumps, and just a more resilient system that is serving the city much, much better, especially with when it comes to high events, whether it's the Super Bowl, whether it's Taylor Swift, whether it's the 17 million visitors that come to our city, the likelihood of them facing that boardwalk advisory has diminished significantly.
These twin towers, I think we need to get those decorated, and I think we need to make them an iconic part of New Orleans, because I do like the way they look, and I like what it symbolizes, you know what I mean, in terms of advancement and improvements. Do they have anything to do with what happened in New Orleans East with that boil water advisory? I guess it was New Orleans East and maybe Gentilly. I get my neighborhoods confused.
Yeah, and you know, there's two reasons why you would have a boil water advisory. If either you lose the power at the source, where that's where the towers play a huge role, a direct role in avoiding the boil water advisory, because then they maintain supply and pressure if we lose power. So that if the pumps are not working, pumping water into the transmission lines to deliver water to the distribution lines, then those towers play a huge role in filling those transmission lines with water and pressure. But if you have at the extremities of the system where you have a hydrant that's hit or a water main that breaks, in that very instance, you will have a drop in pressure in that area itself. And no matter how much pressure we have at the plant, you will always have that drop in pressure. And until you isolate the main and you repair it, you are basically under boil water advisory. And typically we've had those last for 24 hours and we lift them off. So,
and those two towers are for everything on the east bank, Hassan, is that accurate?
They serve the entire city, but again, you know, the distinction is what the cause is,
right,
in the drop of pressure.
No, but I'm just wondering, West Bank too, you know, those towers affect the West Bank too?
No, it's strictly East Bank. The West Bank has its own water purification plant and storage tanks and pumping ability. So those are standalone. And we've had, you know, here and there, just again, localized situations, but nothing major.
Is that the tank right off of Patterson, if I'm remembering correctly or not?
I believe so. There's a couple of them.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, let me take a break.
Yeah.
We'll pick it up here. We'll come back. Talking to our friend Hassan Qurban, Executive Director, New Orleans Surge and Water Board. 822 Traffic Now, WWL. Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Hassan Qurban, Executive Director of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. Hassan, what's going on with the meters? And somebody texted in, and I hate to take individual calls because, you know, everybody's occasionally has problems, and I'd like to deal with the bigger picture. But in case it's representative of a group of people, they got a leaking new smart meter, and they've called and they're not getting any response. What do people do if they got a water meter problem? You there, Hassan? You got me muted? Hassan Qurban, you got me muted, perhaps? Hit that mute button, and then we can hear you. Hassan Qurban, Executive Director of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board, waiting for him to unmute himself. And at that point, we'll get to the question. We're talking about boil water advisories, how they've gone down, and how they're ready for the rain that's going to come today. They got 91 out of 97 pumps working, which is a good position to be in, he said, and ample power. So Tim is in the process of reconnecting there. I will remind you this evening, you can second guess with Bobby Hebert and Mike Dettelier at the Silver Slipper Casino on the beach in beautiful Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Man, I've been longing to take a ride out to Mississippi. We're going to recap the Saints and Giants game, take a look at who made the first ever 12-team college football playoff, and who do you have winning it all? Lynn at 6:30, voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, who my favorite part of his call yesterday was when he passionately called for the Giants to put in a player from James Madison University. Anyway, Mike Haas joins the Cajun Cannon. Saints coaches show Darren Rizzi, quarterbacks coach Andrew Janoco. Then at 7:30, Monday Night Football, the Bengals and Joe Burrow at the Dallas Cowboys. That's on WWL and the free Odyssey app. apparently Ghassan Qurban had some phone problems, but we were in the midst of talking about the towers and how they're going to prevent future boil water advisories. And somebody had texted in about a problem with the smart meter leaking and how you get that all fixed up and so forth. But Ghassan is back. Okay, Ghassan, we only have a minute left. Sorry about the technical issues we had there. If somebody's got problems with a leaky meter, what do they do?
If you have a leaky meter, you call 52 Water, and we will obviously address it as soon as we can. It's obviously imperative to recognize where the leak is. If it's on the inflow on our side, obviously it still needs to be repaired, but it really will not impact the actual volume of water that's going through the meter, so it's not registered. If the leak is on the side of the property, it could still be our responsibility to repair, but it will be then registering, causing the consumption number to appear higher than your typical consumption. That's when people get upset or nervous, and that's where those are the ones we address earlier than the other ones, just because it impacts the amount of consumption being registered.
And look, we are running late. We only have a minute left, and I want to jump to this news. We're going to be a minute late.
Yeah.
But real quick, give me an overview of the smart meter program. How's it working, generally speaking?
We are on track. We hit a milestone, an exciting milestone of 70,000 smart meters in the ground. That's an awesome accomplishment for, you know, starting in spring of this year with the plan to finish the rest of them by end of next year. So it's a very, very exciting place to be producing smart bills for 70,000 of our customers. It's just long-awaited place to be, and we're here, and we're very excited.
Thank you, Ghassan. Appreciate your time. We'll talk to Jeff Palermo when we come back quickly to WWL First News. 847, 13 till 9. Jeff Palermo joins us, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. Got a story up at WWL.com. College football transfer portal opens, and LSU is expected to be aggressive. Hey, Jeff, how you?
I'm doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
I'm all right. That big old door is opened, huh?
Yeah, it opened. Literally hundreds of players are diving into that transfer portal and hoping that it's, you know, the pasture's greener on the other side, right? I mean, that's kind of what they're hoping for, a better opportunity somewhere else. And the unfortunate part about this, for a lot of kids, they're not going to probably find a spot that might be better for them. A lot of kids get kind of lost and swallowed up by the transfer portal, but there still will be some quality players in there, and LSU said that they'll be aggressive, so we'll see how aggressive they'll be.
So let's talk about who they lost first, as far as we know.
Well, I would say probably the biggest ones at this point are, I think C.J. Daniels is the biggest surprise. He is set to enter the transfer portal. This was a guy that Brian Kelly was talking about, how they anticipate that he'll be back next season, and he was such a key part of this offense, truly a really good possession receiver, a guy that can move the chains for you. And, when you have the head coach talking about how they're looking forward to having him back, I mean, the thing was you were wondering if he was going to get into the NFL draft, and because he's been in college football since 2000. He gets the free COVID year, and then he also had a season where he was injured early on in the year, so he got a medical redshirt. So didn't think he was coming back.
He's been in college football since when?
2000. Yeah, so he's going to be a six-year player next year, and so the feeling was is that he may be considering going into the NFL, but no, he apparently wants to go to a different school. Shelton Sampson, a big-time wide receiver out of Catholic High of Baton Rouge, who did not catch a pass in his two seasons at LSU, he's headed to the transfer portal. That's a loss. I think one of the disappointing storylines to this season, when LSU had some injuries at the wide receiver position, namely Chris Hilton, Shelton Sampson couldn't couldn't step up and be that guy. That was a disappointing development that occurred during the season, and now he'll look to go play somewhere else. Kylan Jackson, another area kid from Zachary at the safety position. I mean, LSU struggled at the safety position this year, and he was someone that could not interject himself in there. He had some opportunities early on in the season to be a significant part of this LSU defense. It did not transpire for him, and now he's headed to the transfer portal along with Jordan Allen. And then, you know, there's some other guys out there as well. Freshman linebacker Xavier Atkins, Jair Brown, a cornerback from Ohio State who never really saw the field or didn't see the field that much other than early this season. And then Bernard Causey, a freshman cornerback, a three-star recruit that just never really made a difference. So, you know, those are the guys that are in there at the moment, the big ones anyways.
So what about on the defensive side? You lost some defensive backs?
Well, yeah, as I mentioned, Jordan Allen and Zy Alexander at the safety position. So that makes – and I think LSU would have been looking to try to get someone – at safety, too. I mean, Major Burns has exhausted his eligibility. Sage Ryan, there's a possibility that he could enter the NFL draft. He participated in senior night as a redshirt junior. And then Jardine Gilbert, who it wasn't a great season for him. So LSU certainly needed to upgrade the safety position. They got some young guys ready to go there in Deshaun Spears out of Denham Springs, and then Joel Rogers out of West Feliciana High School. But you're going to need to find somebody there at that safety position, because that was one area that they really struggled in this past season.
I was distracted a little bit because I was watching the video of Brian Kelly dancing with Danny Lewis, who eventually went to Alabama, but now he's hitting the portal. LSU's losing Mason Taylor. Are they going to pursue him or not? And is Brian Kelly going to dance with him?
Yeah, I mean, a tight end is, I think, a huge need on this team, along with wide receiver. I mean, the two tight ends that you have on your roster, Kamorian Pimpton and Tre'Dez Green, are more known for their pass-catching abilities than their blocking abilities. So they're going to need, you know, somebody there at that tight end position. Now, they've offered Northwest Missouri State transfer Zach Atkins. But I don't know if that one, we'll see if they go and get him. But there's been, I would think at the tight end position, LSU should be able to find someone that's pretty good, because Brian Kelly has a history with his offenses of really using the tight end position. Brian Kelly's got a keen eye for finding good tight ends. And let's face it, you know, Mason Taylor had three really good seasons here at LSU. He was not as prominent last year as he was, obviously, this year. He was a big-time playmaker for LSU offensively. So for a tight end that's looking for a chance to showcase his skills, you would think LSU would be a good landing spot for that person.
Jeff, I'm drawing, I'm trying not to hurt myself, Venn diagrams on this piece of paper with transfer portal with name, image, and likeness on it, right? So
yeah.
Or is it like an eclipse? Is one completely on top of the other? Is it three quarters name, image, and likeness, and a quarter transfer portal that does excludes name, image, and likeness? You understand where I'm going with this, right?
Well, I mean, with this transfer portal situation, I mean, a lot of the players that are in there are looking not only for playing times, but they're looking for NIL dollars as well. And the fact that LSU missed out on a couple of five-star recruits out of high school that were supposed to be part of this 2025 team, that has freed up some money here for LSU to spend these NIL dollars elsewhere. When they lost Bryce Underwood and Cade Phillips to other schools, that frees it up. I mean, I think that's a reason why, when you go back to it, when Brian Kelly was asked about the transfer portal before Bryce Underwood decommitted and decided to go to Michigan, you know, Coach Brian Kelly said, yeah, the transfer portal will be something we'll certainly look at. We'll try to supplement the roster through it. But then after they lost Bryce Underwood, he changed his tune on it. He said, no, we're going to be very aggressive in it. And it's because they now have, you know, more dollars freed up. And then Mason Taylor deciding to go to the NFL. I mean, there was a push by LSU to see if they can get Taylor to come back for his senior season. he has decided to go to the NFL draft, and so that frees up some money. And then Will Campbell, who was technically your highest paid NIL earner on this football team, he's headed to the NFL draft. So LSU has NIL dollars available, and it's now up to them to go out there and get them. But there are other schools that have a lot of cash too when it comes to NIL. So LSU has to beat them out for it, and we'll see what happens here over the next several weeks.
One quick question, I'll let it go at this. Is it all about the money now?
A lot of it is all about the money. I mean, a lot of it is. There's still those players that also value fit and the coaching staff and the school and all that kind of stuff. But for a lot of these guys, it's all about the money. And you kind of wonder, when it's all about the money, how good of a player will they really be if all they're worried about is money? That's got to also be a big concern for these coaches that are going after these players.
And they can game the system. They can keep transferring every year and signing new name, image, and likeness deals, and they better get a handle on that quickly. It's going to be even a bigger mess. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
All right, go to WWL.com. You can see Jeff's article, 856, 4 till 9. Traffic now, WWL.